Will you bow with me as we pray? Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this day and this opportunity that we come together. For many families, it's a day to surround the mothers in our lives and to offer our thanks and gratitude and honor them. But in this time of worship, we pray that your Spirit would come and stir us to faith, to action as the result of faith, as we respond to the scriptures that have been read. So may your Spirit continue to work and to move, that as your scriptures are now proclaimed, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So we are celebrating Mother's Day today, and I'm following the lectionary, but it just happens to be that we have this passage from Acts talking about this Tabitha, or Dorcas as her name was in Greek, who made an impact in people's lives. Now, I think most of us probably have a mother or various mothers in our lives that in some way have nurtured us and supported us and been there for us throughout our lives. And the thing that I notice about the mothers in my life and the mother of my children that I'm married to, which, by the way, will be 24 years tomorrow. I know. I'm not sure where those 24 years have been gone, but they've been good ones. But mothers just have this supernatural innate ability to recognize and know what their children's needs are, even before they ask. That even in their asking, children will often want something and a mother will recognize, you know what, maybe it's time for a nap right now because you're kind of tired. Or you know, you're hungry, or we need to work on this. But there's that ability that mothers have to just look at their children that they know intimately and very well and know what their needs are and to provide for them. Now, I think that Dorcas was a woman like that to the community around her. That she, my sense is, she had the ability to recognize and see what the needs of the people were around her and to respond to them in a way that she was able to. Now, this name Tabitha or Dorcas, it means gazelle, but when we talk about names and meanings of names, some people would say that Dorcas, the meaning of it is graceful or filled with grace. Dorcas was a woman who was filled with grace and compassion for the people around her. And I think that we can learn a little bit from the example. And while this few short verses are all we hear about her, it tells us a lot. It begins by telling us that in the city of Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha or Dorcas. The fact that she's a disciple mentioned first is an important key, I think, because disciples, in the context of the New Testament, are those people who have made the decision to follow Jesus, to follow his teachings, to follow the things that he proclaimed. Now, we're in Acts, so Jesus has been crucified, died, risen, and ascended into heaven. The message of who he was spread beyond Jerusalem in that very small geographic area where he lived and died. But this message had gone beyond, and Dorcas had made a conscious decision to be a follower of Jesus. We're told that she was a disciple. What's more, as a disciple filled with God's Spirit and living out her faith, it says that she was a woman devoted to good works and acts of charity. Dorcas was a woman whose faith in Jesus Christ had transformed her life. That her faith prompted her to those good works and those acts of charity. And Dorcas made a difference in that community where she lived, because we're told that she became sick. So sick, in fact, that her illness led to her death. And the other disciples that were there heard that Peter was nearby, and they called for him to come. Now, Dorcas, we don't know much about her, what her status or place was in society, but we're told that they had taken her to a house with an upper room, and the other widows who were there had washed her and prepared her for her burial. She was recognized enough that a house with a second floor probably belonged to a person of some prominence and wealth. And so she was maybe a woman of status herself, but regardless, respected by someone of status, that they took her to the second floor. And the people who had cared for her and knew her were gathered there. It says, when Peter arrived, all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. The gifts that Dorcas had given were articles of clothing for people who needed it. People whose lives were probably such that they could not provide for themselves. The homeless, the other widows, people unattached, disenfranchised, in many ways probably the outcasts of their community. And Dorcas had recognized their needs and provided for them. Now, in this moment of these people gathering together, you've probably known someone like Dorcas, someone who cared passionately and deeply about other people and didn't think twice about giving them the shirt off of their own back, people who cared deeply enough that they would go and offer that was needed at the time that it was needed. For all of those people gathering there, when they'd heard that Dorcas had died, they were probably wearing that only tunic they had that Dorcas had made for them. And when they came with Peter to sit at the bedside where their dead friend now lay, they held up those tunics and said, "Look what she did for me." It wasn't about the tunics. It wasn't about the garments. It wasn't about the clothing that she had provided. It was about this woman who saw them as a person, who loved them, who cared for them, and gave what she was able to meet their needs. So then Peter excuses everybody, and he prays over Tabitha, and he says, "Get up," and she does. And it says many came to faith. Now, this is one of the miracles that the disciples, that Peter performed after Jesus had gone into heaven, and that ministry continued to grow. I think it's important that that happened and that people came to faith, but ultimately I think this story is still about Tabitha. You see, as followers of Jesus, Jesus said that to his disciples, "You'll do greater things than I have," and we see them do some of the miracles. But I don't think the miracles are what we're directed to, but rather the life of this saintly woman who touched so many. Our lives have been touched by many people, often for good, unfortunately sometimes not so positive ways. We have those toxic people that sometimes pull us down, but that just shows us the power and the influence that people can potentially have in the lives of others. Dorcas was a positive presence in the lives of the people she interacted with. They loved her because she had loved them. Friends, as Christians, as those who, like Dorcas, have put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, our lives are to be transformed and changed, and our lives are to be lived outwardly in a pouring out of that love that we have received and experienced through the grace that God has shown us through Jesus Christ, that other lives might be transformed as well. Now, I'll tell you what, I'm not one who's going to be sewing garments and passing them out, because people would not have a very positive impression of me if I came up and handed them a garment I'd tried to make. But God has gifted me in other ways. And in the gifts that God has given me, my response to that faith is to go and allow those gifts to be a means in which I show that love of God to others. And every one of you have been given those gifts as well. God has poured his love into your life through his son, Jesus Christ. And in response, we too are to pour out that love in acts of service and charity, in ways in which we express compassion and kindness to people around us. It may be in providing a meal for someone that needs it. It may be being that person who provides clothing or shelter or other things that meet those needs that all people have. Maybe your role is to be a voice for someone who doesn't have one, to be an advocate, to be a support, to be an encourager. Maybe it's going and helping fix up and do some work around a house that someone's not able to do. There are all sorts of ways in which you can demonstrate that love to other people, particularly when it's done unsolicited, particularly when you look and think and say, you know what, I see a neighbor that's really struggling right now. I've seen them out there trying to rake the yard, and they're having a difficult time with it. I'm just sitting here watching television. I'm going to go grab my rake and go help them get the work done. Those are the acts of kindness that speak volumes about the love that you have for others. Dorcas was a living legacy. Even if Peter hadn't shown up and called her back from the dead, even if he had not reached out his hand and said, Tabitha, get up, the impact that she had had on the lives of those people gathered there would not have been changed, nor would it have been diminished. Her living legacy was the fact that they felt loved. They felt valued because she had cared. There are people that try to plan out the legacy of their life, and often people are successful in that. But I want to suggest the best living legacy that any mother, father, friend, brother, sister, any Christian, any follower of Jesus can have is to allow the love of Christ to transform your life and then to spend each day figuring out how you can share that love with others. Friends, it's done in personal contact. It's done in interactions that we have with people, particularly those around us. And John Wesley admonished us that when it comes to our charity, he said, charity is better delivered than sent. We go and do it in person. We don't send it off and say, okay, there you go. But rather we come and we knock on the door. Tunic, apple pie, rake, whatever it is in hand, and say, I noticed that you could use some help. I want to offer what I can because I've received so much from Jesus. Amen.